Amber, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
We have a big night tonight.
We do.
Yes. We have the board, Thomas Performance Institute's board is in town, and a few of us are going to have dinner with them.
Fancy dinner when the board's in town. We got
to
love it.
Yeah. We're going to PJ Clark's, newly opened in Washington, D.C. I get to, I'm going to pretend that I'm Don Draper and, you know, order an old fashioned. Very excited.
Nice.
All right. So what you got for us today?
All right. So many folks, as you know, complain that these charter studies that come out lump all the charters together and they don't really, you know, analyze them separately. So this week's study is conducted by our top-notch researchers. That would be Tom Kane, John Fullerton, and others. And they have taken a step, in my humble opinion, in the right direction by parsing effects for urban and non-urban charter schools. Study includes 22 oversubscribed charter schools and complements it with an observational study, which includes all middle and high school charters operating in the Bay State between 02 and 09. It finds that overall, charter middle schools boost average math scores but do little for average ELA scores. When parsed by urbanicity, however, the results get a little more intriguing. Urban middle schools show large positive effects on ELA scores, while non-urban middle schools have zero to negative impact on both ELA and math. This is important. Differences in impact among urban and non-urban charters do not appear to be due to student demographics, at least not entirely. I think I'm losing my audience, so real quickly. Urban charters do well with minority and low-income students, which they have more of, but they do moderately well for white students. Non-urban middle schools fail to show gains for any demographic subgroup. Researchers say something about the schools themselves is driving the large urban charter gains.
You don't say.
Yeah. So they surveyed surveyed principals, which I thought was great because sometimes we don't do that. Just a couple of the quick findings. Urban schools have longer school days, spend twice as much time on language and math instruction, and are more likely to identify with a no excuses approach to education.
Come on.
It's a lot.
I know, but this is not a surprise. We knew from the federal charter study that came out last year found that middle class middle school charter middle schools did not show much gains, but low income ones did. And it was obvious why. If you are in a suburban affluent community and you start up a charter school, it is because you don't want your kid going to the traditional public school where they focus on testing. You want to send them to some progressive or Waldorf or, you know, new agey school instead. And lo and behold, those schools don't have good test scores.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess I just missed your larger point, but I mean, they do look at the types of kids that are being enrolled in these schools.
Right.
So the non-urban, I mean, you got the same type of kid in both schools.
Well, then what are the distinctions then? I mean, urban versus non-urban. I mean, I'm assuming that the suburban schools do have different demographics, though they look at see how the you know, say the poor kids in those schools.
Right, but they looked at peer effects. They actually did and found like very little could be explained by peer effects.
Well, I'm just assuming I'm just assuming that the urban schools are probably schools that, like you said, are back to basics, no excuses. We're going to try to drive achievement up. And that most that I know of, that suburban charter schools that I know of tend to be more on the progressive side. They basically say, we don't care about test scores as much. You know, we care about other things. That's how we're attracting families to our schools. And if they don't care about getting test scores up as much, test scores aren't going to go up as much.
Perhaps. I don't know. It's a reasonable theory. But I actually think, I mean, to me, the value add was actually the survey piece, you know, because I think we have these sort of ideas that this is how it works. Like, you know, you got these theories and it sounds reasonable. But yeah, I mean, some of these theories actually hold up when you actually survey these people and they are spending more time on these things and they are have this no excuses mentality. So to me, anytime you can have a study that actually, you know, nicely confirms what we think anecdotally, that's a pretty that's a valuable study.
I mean, look, we've parsed. I feel like we've gotten to the point where we've parsed this charter school thing every which way we possibly can, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and which is fine. I mean, a few years ago, there was a feeling that we didn't know much about charter school
achievement. Right, used to lump them all together.
Yeah, so now we know.
And I remember that. That's did the typology. Remember that?
That's right.
Separating charter schools because people didn't know.
Yeah, different kinds.
Different kinds of charter schools.
Yeah, and we just, you know, I mean, we come back to the same thing over and over and over again. Some are good, some are bad. You know, and so it just depends. I mean, this is why at the end, this is not an empirical question about whether or not to support charter schools. It comes down to politics. Yeah, it comes down, you know, what is your appetite for taking some risk with public dollars and being willing to say, you know what, we're going to take a bet on some nonprofit group to run a school and it could go really well, it could go really bad.
Yeah.
But we think that's valuable versus just saying we're going to have a traditional national standards system in standardized system where, you know, it probably won't go really well and probably won't go really bad. It'll just be mediocre.
Yeah, I mean, you know, though, what charter school opponents would say about that.
Can't be guinea pigs.
Well, no, but they would say that Mike is saying that it's not an empirical question because maybe the empirical evidence doesn't support what Mike would want it to.
Yeah, I think they say, oh, we don't want to treat our kids like guinea pigs. We can't take risk in education.
You think we should treat our kids like guinea pigs?
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, it's hype. I mean, give me,
I am pro treating kids like guinea pigs, absolutely. And hey, look, I would say this. The empirical evidence is that the best urban schools in America today are charter schools, mm-hmm. you know, but so are the worst urban schools in America today. So, you know, we know the empirical evidence says there's a lot of, it's mixed. It depends if you're willing to take the good with the bad. All right, yeah. So what song goes
mixed with word? Like, people hate that, but that is the most accurate word for charter research.
Absolutely. Okay.
So any excuse to play Boston, we take it. So this is just that. We have Rock and Roll Band by Boston.